see each of you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet at the same time, I'm responsible to preach the truth of God. If you find I've stated something incorrect, I stand to be corrected. If you'll take the Bible and show me where I'm wrong, I'll make the proper correction. If you think I've stated something in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that has been suggested by Brother Craig. And while we're singing, we'll be praying within our heart this morning that if you've not put on Christ in baptism, that this morning you would sweep the air with the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon your confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Mark 16:16 and many other places. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'll be glad to assist you in any way this morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the Galatian letter and the third chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. In Galatians 3, 1, Paul said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" At this time, the Apostle Paul is letting the people of God at that time recognize that he had put before them a picture of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, notice the statement. He said in a clear manner, he said that before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed. If you have your Bible, may I suggest you underscore the words clearly portrayed. And what I'd like to do is to get into my mind and your mind this morning that what Paul is saying is he gave them a clear picture of Jesus. And then Paul said, "I am surprised. I am shocked that you are already turning away from this Jesus that I put before you. This Jesus that I painted before you." He's not talking about a picture that we talk about today that we might have on the wall. But he's talking about a description. He said, "I painted before you a picture of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and you're already turning away from Him." You know, in our day and time, there are a lot of people who are turning away from the cross of Christ. We live in a day and time where people are turning to entertainment. We're living in a day and time where people are turning to all kinds of man-made ideas to attract crowds. But I want to tell you that when you read your Bible, you'll find the apostles and those in the very beginning of New Testament Christianity always pointed to the cross as the central theme of their preaching. And what I'd like to do this morning is to put into your mind and into my mind a picture of the cross of Christ. And I want us to look at Jesus Christ upon the cross and get a picture in our mind. And then when we come to the conclusion of our sermon, I want to raise a question for us to take home. If you have your Bible this morning, if you will, turn with me to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. When you come to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, if you will, notice with me, beginning at verse 27. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." The first thing I want to do as we paint a picture of the cross of Christ is to see the head of Jesus. And I want you for just a moment to look at what they did to the head of the Son of the living God. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 27th chapter, notice that they take a crown of thorns and they place it upon his head. Here I want you to get in your mind these men, these rugged soldiers, as they stand around Jesus mocking him. Here they are laughing at him. Here they are ridiculing him. Here they are belittling him. And they're laughing at him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Here they believe they're mocking a man, not recognizing they are mocking the King of Kings and the Lord of all. Here they look at Jesus and they bow their knees in mockery, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they take a reed and put it in his hand and say, "Here, you're a king. Here's your scepter." Then they take the crown of thorns and place it upon his head, saying, "If you're a king, you need a crown, don't you, Jesus?" And as they put that crown upon his head, they begin to laugh and mock. Now, when we think of thorns, we might think of something we find in a rose bush. But in that day and time and in that land, you'll find that some of the thorns they're talking about aren't just something that pricked the skin. You're talking about something 3 to 5 inches long. And here they've intertwined those thorns. Here they put them upon his head. And then they take the reed and they hit him over the head. Can you imagine those thorns going into the scalp of the Son of the Living God? Can you imagine as they impale the scalp and the blood begins to flow freely? And they mock and laugh at the Son of God as the blood flows from his head? Then if you take your Bible, if you will, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And when you go to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, notice the 50th chapter. When you look at the head and the face of the Son of God, look at what he says in verse 6. In verse 6, he said, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Not only did they at that time look at the face of God and strike the face of the Son of God, but they pulled the hair from his beard and they spit in his face. Have you ever stopped to think that when they looked at Jesus Christ and they mocked him and they belittled him and they ridiculed him, they spit in his face? Oh, I would that I could get that into your mind, into my mind, that picture of Jesus standing there with his beard filled with sweat, filled with spit, filled with blood. And there he is, the Son of God, being tortured and made fun of by mankind, his own creation. Do you have that picture of Jesus Christ? Do you have that picture with the thorns in his head? Do you have that picture with spit and blood flowing from his beard? But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, notice again in Isaiah 52 and verse 14. When you look at the face of Christ, notice that they beat the face of the Son of God. And in verse 14 it says, "Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage," or that's his appearance or face, "was marred more than any man." Have you ever thought when they beat the Son of God, they slapped him, how that face must have looked when they were done torturing that man? I would this morning I could get that picture in your mind and in my mind. But the second thing I want to bring to your mind, go back to Isaiah 50. And in Isaiah 50, look at that first part of verse 6. "I gave my back to those who struck me." When you go back to Matthew 27, you'll remember that Pilate had Jesus scourged. And sometimes I'm fearful. We don't know what entails a scourging. I think sometimes we might think that they took something like a belt and just kind of struck him on the back. Oh no, my friend. They took a cat of nine tails. And a cat of nine tails was an instrument of torture. They put bone, they put glass into these threads of whips, and these whips would come down on the back and would rip and tear the flesh away. Many times an individual would not live the scourging. A scourging would cause one to bleed to death. Many times they would take the scourge down on the back and it would lacerate an internal organ or disembowel somebody. So when we look at someone being scourged, we need to recognize this was something that was torturous. And here was an individual taking that cat of nine tails down upon the back of the Son of God, ripping away the flesh. When it was done, his back would look like a bloody mess. Internal organs may have been able to be seen. And here's the Son of God with his skin being ripped, brutally attacked. I read recently in a statement, and I thought it was interesting. They said that they had even found in some places where the Romans had done this, salt pits, where they would throw salt on the wounds. Now, I don't know if that happened to Jesus or not, but I do recognize this much. They took the cat of nine tails and they brought that down upon the back of the Son of the Living God. They put that to his back. Then I want you to think about a picture of that back. When they threw him down on the rough lumber, Remember that after they had scourged him, they put the robe back on him and they walked him up Calvary's hill. Then when they get there, they would have took the robe off. And you think about the blood congealing with the fabric, then ripping that robe off, then throwing him down onto the lumber, that wound that has already been exposed is now up against splinters and rough wood. And there they put him on the cross, and there you see that individual being greatly in pain. I want you to get that picture in your mind. The Son of God, see the crown of thorns on his head and see the marks and see the cross on his back. Are you getting a picture of Jesus Christ? Is it being clearly portrayed? Oh, I would I had the ability to get this in my mind and your mind as I should. But then I want you to think about a third thing. Can you see when they took the nails and they drove them through his hands and his feet? When they would take and they threw him down on the ground and they threw the body on the cross, and then they take and they start to nail that spike through his hand. And they would have nailed it through the tendon there. And just to think, when that first initial blow was struck to the spike, and then as the nail is impaled and the blood starts to come and it strikes the median nerve and goes through the body of Jesus, the shocking pain. Then as the nail's driven on through the hand into the wood and he's secured, and then they go to the other side and repeat the process on the other hand. Then they would have taken his feet. Sometimes how they would crucify an individual is they would break the heels of the feet. They would put a spike through the heels, but with Jesus we know they didn't do that because no bone was broken. So most likely they took one foot in front of the other and put it through the top of the foot. And there they suspended Jesus. Can you imagine when they took that cross and they put it down into the ground, and there's the Son of God nailed. There he is being fully exposed. There he is put to an open shame, his body racked with pain, shock no doubt going through his body, the loss of blood, the body abused, the mistreatment he's already experienced. This after a night of sleeplessness, this after a night of great stress where he's praying in the garden as blood, sweats of blood is coming out. This as Jesus in great agony had cried out. This after he'd already been slapped and beaten and taken from high priest across to Pilate and from Pilate to Herod and back to Pilate and then to Calvary. Are you getting a picture of Jesus Christ? But then I want you to think about another thing. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of John in the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 19th chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 31, that the Jews were concerned because it was the Sabbath day and they recognized the Passover was coming. And notice that they were concerned, and therefore it said because it was the preparation day before the Sabbath of the Passover. It said in verse 31, because it was the preparation days, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Look at that, blood and water. Have you ever thought when they took the spear and they sliced into the flesh of the Son of God? And notice into his side, near his heart. And when you read that blood and water came out, that represents that Jesus died of heart failure. It most likely represents his heart exploded. Have you ever thought that there's the Son of God hanging there? And they take the spear and they rip into his flesh. Near his heart. Near his chest. The chest where in John 13, John laid. Remember it said John had leaned upon the bosom of Jesus? That chest that we talk about that contained the heart of Jesus while he lived in humanity. Have you ever looked at the cross? I've often thought when they came and took the body down, just what did that body look like? Now I want you to look a little closer. And what I need to see there is the heart of Christ. if you look a little closer at where they pierced the side, and you see Jesus there with the water and the blood showing that he died of heart failure, I believe one could honestly and correctly say Jesus died of a broken heart. And what I see is when I look at the cross, I see a picture of God's love for man and God's hatred for sin. You know, sin can appear attractive when one doesn't see the aftermath. But I want you to see how God sees sin. When you look at the cross, you get a picture of how much God hates sin. Sin isn't to be trivialized. Sin isn't to be justified in man's way. Sin can only be justified through God's means, and that is through the perfect sacrifice of His Son. And you know what I must come to realize when I come to the cross? The only way my sin can be blotted out is when I recognize how much God hates it, and yet how much God loves me, and how much God loves you. Do you see the heart of Christ as there He was on the cross dying for you? Do you not see how much He loves you that He'd be willing to go through all this torture and at the same time bear your sin? He was on the cross sinless. But He was bearing your sin and my sin. Do you get a picture of Jesus Christ? Once a little boy was on his mama's lap. And he asked her, "Mama, what does love look like?" She said, "Look into my eyes." He looked into her eyes. He said, "I don't see anything." She said, "Look a little harder." He said, "Mama, all I see is a reflection of me." She said, "That's what love looks like. You want to see a reflection of you. You want to know how much God loves. You look at the cross." How anyone can walk away from the cross and turn away from what God has clearly portrayed to us is beyond me. How anyone could leave this morning not wanting to be in a relationship with the loving Father that put His Son upon a cross to redeem you so you can be His son and you can be His daughter is beyond me. And yet, my friend, when I see the cross, I see how much God hates sin. And at the same time, I see the heart of God that He loves you and me. Oh, I may not have done it right this morning, but I would that I could put before you a picture of Jesus and His love for you. If you're here this morning, you need to obey the gospel. We pray that you'll come to the cross this morning as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you.